There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all here on this Friday Eve. Little Friday, some people call it Thursday edition of the show. Live local talk, another couple hours. Of course, the phone and text lines open for you at 343-0106. Got a lot to do on today's show. And as I mentioned at the end of Jeff's show, right out of the gates here, leadoff batter and our interview for this half hour, Senator-elect Katie Britt joining us now on Midday Mobile. Good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Sean, thank you so much for having me. I am excited to have the opportunity to be on.
Yeah, you know, last time, I pulled the curtain back. So last time, Senator-elect Britt and I were talking, I messed up with the time because I had to do a special thing at the end of the hour before we finished. So I squashed your time on that, and I will never live that down. So I'm going to make up for it now. I'm going to make up for it now. Sorry about that.
I love it. No, I think I probably just had way too much to say. Obviously, it's so many things prior to the election that we were talking about and wanting to get in. So I am glad to have a good bit of time and glad you allowed me to be back on.
So let's pick it up kind of where we left off, because in that discussion, I was asking you about the other folks that were running for office that, I don't want to start trouble, but the median age of the Senate is not exactly 40 years old. You were talking about some other people out there running and kind of the face of the Republican Party going forward. So that's kind of where I want to start, because you've been named to a group here that's looking into kind of, all right, what happened in the midterm? You know, what can be corrected? You're on this commission reviewing what the RNC did wrong, right? And is part of that, you know, maybe more younger candidates, or where are you with that?
Right. So, I have been asked to be on the RNC Advisory Council. That group will take a look at where we are, what happened, and where we need to go as a party. Ultimately, we know that when it comes down to the issues, we are right on the issues. We know that when we can get those issues and how we feel about them and what we want to do productive for the nation, we can get that in front of people, we win. And so we've got to figure out, you know, what went right, what went wrong, and how we move forward and regain some traction as a Republican Party and really move this nation back where it needs to go. So I was honored to ask to be on it. I am the only senator-elect that is on the council. Blake Masters, who was unsuccessful in his bid to be the next United States senator from Arizona, but was the Republican nominee, is also on there. So I'm really interested in his feedback and, you know, kind of what he has to say, what he's going to bring to the table, because he is also in this younger generation. When you and I talked about the different people, Blake was one of them. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Tiffany Smiley was one who came up a little short there in Washington. And one that did cross the finish line, like myself, is J.D. Vance. And I am excited to be able to work with him and the U.S. Senate. Our offices are directly across from each other, so I have a feeling that I'll have an opportunity to get to know him, walking to and from votes, if nothing else. But when it comes to really this RNC Advisory Council, the approach I'm taking to it, Sean, is the same one that I took in my campaign for candidacy for the United States Senate, and that is actually meeting with people, talking to Alabamians, asking for their feedback. My team and I have started that process already. We want to make sure when we walk into that very first meeting that I am prepared, that I know what Alabamians want to see, what they want to see different in 2024, and what we believe as party faithful and people who love this nation and love this state, what we believe will ultimately lead us to a Republican presidency and both a larger margin in the House and taking back the U.S. Senate in 2024.
Yeah, and I want to get into the details here, but first, though, you say the messaging. So this is interesting, that the messaging, the conservative, the Republican messaging is correct, but maybe, and I'm stretching here, but the vessels aren't, or is it carrying that? I mean, okay, the message is correct, then why is it? Why are people not hearing it?
Right. That's it. That's it. Bingo. Right there. And so we have to look at this. We have to look at how elections have changed. You know, we're looking at these different states and what the Democratic Party is doing when it comes to early voting in certain states. You know, what has changed? What has not changed? And, you know, I believe we need, you know, free, fair, and secure elections. I believe people must have faith in those elections in order for our democracy to continue to thrive. I mean, you look at some of the places across this nation that took days, even weeks, counting votes. You know, people want to know when they go to bed election night or wake up the next morning, you know, people want to know that we have an orderly system where they can feel good that their vote was counted and that there was integrity in the process. So we have to take a look at that. Sean, we have to be honest about where voting has changed in some states. You know, some states that have early voting where maybe Democrats did a better job getting their message out early or targeting those voters to get those ballots in. Let's take a look at that. Let's also take a look at how we message to younger voters. What we saw in exit polling and some of the kind of post-mortem 2022 election pieces, you know, we saw that younger voters broke towards the Democrats. Well, what do we need to do to target those voters to say, let us tell you about our policies, let us tell you about our positions, let us tell you why we believe this makes a stronger America, you know, why we believe we are the party of parents and hardworking Americans, and that these policies will put our country on a path to prosperity, and that means you as well. So we also have to look at the vessels that Democrats are using to get that message to younger voters. What did they do this time? What did we not do? You know, even in our campaign, Sean, you saw us really target that younger generation, everything from college, you know, all the way to young working parents. We didn't take any of those votes for granted, and we worked hard to try to get those, both with targeting groups, with having, you know, different election, you know, avenues that we kind of sort of went out and did get out the vote rallies and call parties and that type of thing to try to encourage engagement. So what all can we do across that to get the message not to all the right people and through the right avenues? And we're going to have to sort through that. We really are.
I mean, you come out of this this group here and this this committee, will you have like a, will it be something like, okay, here's a bullet point list of, you know, we need to do this first, this second, or is it going to be a general, I mean, have they tasked you with that? Like, you putting out a report, or is it just going to be an agreement and you share that information with people at the RNC? How does that come out?
You know, so I am not sure what the final product would look like at this point. I'm looking forward and I'm getting prepared for our first meeting. During our first meeting, I am sure that we will have an opportunity to kind of say, you know, what do we feel like the end result needs to be and how do we need to disseminate this information to the right people so we can get moving? We need the party faithful. We need the RNC, the NRSC. We need leadership in the Senate and the House all the way across the board working together to ensure that 2024 is a great year for Republicans across this country. And so that means having some tough conversations, which I believe will be had in that room. That means bringing a different level of expertise or experience, you know, saying, Blake saying, hey, here's what I experienced, me saying, here's what I experienced. You've got Kellyanne Conway on that group, amongst others, you know, and saying, here's what we think worked, here's where we think we missed the mark. And so I look forward to doing that. I look forward to having open dialogue with Alabamians about that. And as I mentioned, we've already started that process to start saying, what do we need to be thinking about? Where did, you know, where do we miss it? Where do we get it right? You know, I believe we've, like I said, got the right policies. We've got to find a way to get them to the people in the right way and then get out the vote more effectively. And also another thing it turns into is ground game. And so let's look at these states. Let's look at what the Democrats have done ground game wise. Let's look at what we have done and see what we can learn, how we can grow, and what we can do better.
I'm looking at a lot of texts coming in here, and there's a couple that ask the same question. So this is, okay. As you're talking about the, we'll just take buddies, said, ask Senator-elect, if Republican senators up there to start changing things, then why did they vote for Mitch McConnell again? So there's a bunch of Mitch McConnell questions here.
Yeah, so I think what you're going to see is there was some really good discussion that occurred in the caucus meeting both days that I was up there for orientation. I think it was very healthy. I think a lot of people were able to talk without making it personal, but talk about how do we achieve results for the American people. And I will tell you that is what I'm focused on when we get back. We have a leadership structure in place, but the beautiful thing about the Senate is that you have 100 senators that have the opportunity to really push stuff and can hold things up, can make their voice be heard, and that's what I plan on doing. There were some things that were very encouraging in those conversations where we talked about the debt, where we talked about where we are as a nation. You know, when we've got $31 trillion that we are in debt, and we're looking at adding more and more and more to that, and we've got to rein that in. I mean, we can't saddle the next generation with these things, and we have to start making tough but and responsible decisions to figure out how we move forward and do so more responsibly. I think you will see things like, you know, the vaccine mandate, right? Mm-hmm. Marsha Blackburn has an amendment to go on the NDAA to say, hey, we are not going to mandate that our military have to be vaccinated in order to serve. If you look at the reports that have been put out, whether it's from Heritage or others, we know that our numbers are down when it comes to recruiting and mm-hmm. actually in the military across the board, and yet you have the Biden administration that's pushing different policies and procedures and all kinds of things to continue to limit the number of people that are actually able to serve. So knowing that that they should not be mandated to take this COVID vaccine, that should be a choice that they have, and they should be able to continue to honorably serve in our military, is something I was really encouraged. I mean, she was spot on and was building the coalition she needed, because what we've got to do as Republicans is stick together. So in order for us to be able, it's going to be challenging moving forward. I mean, let's be honest, mm-hmm. 51-49 is very different than 50-50. That means that we've got to go find two Democrats to move on over to our side to be able to hold things up. But what we can do is if we stick together and we get to 41 and we get an amendment on a bill, or we're able to really be able to hold together and negotiate, then hopefully we can stop some of these disastrous policies, these disastrous nominees, from moving forward. So I'm hopeful that while different people have different opinions about the way that that all shook out, it is what it is at this point. And I think that we need to march forward together. We need to be unified, and unified for the people of this country, because they are depending on us to stand up, to stand firm, and to have a backbone of steel in fighting the Democrats and Biden's disastrous policies. And rest assured, that is exactly what I plan on doing.
If you're just joining us, talking to Senator-elect Katie Britt here on Midday Mobile, I would suggest maybe really nice Christmas presents for Manchin and Sinema. Just an idea. So,
right. I tell you what, it's going to be different. I mean, you look at 50-50 versus 51-49. So I went to Georgia to campaign for Herschel, and as we were talking about it, you know, it's not only what we just said, which means you not just have to have one, but you have to convince two Democrats to stick with you. But additionally, on top of that, you know, the committee assignments. So one of the things I actually found out today, so you are the first person to kind of sort of put this out in the public
All
space.
Right,
but this morning I found out I am officially 100 out of 100
Okay.
Which means that I will be the very last in being able to choose committee assignments, and I will be the very last desk in the United States Senate, and all the things that go along with that. But I'm excited about the opportunity. Obviously, nowhere to go but up from there.
Yeah, it leaves
but
a lot of headroom.
We talk about committee assignments. So 50-50, the resolution that they came to together was an evenly split committees, equal number of Democrats and Republicans. Now there will be more Democrats on each and every committee than Republicans, which makes it more challenging to block things, which makes it more challenging, obviously, to stop something from being discharged from committee. So it creates another layer of uphill battle, which means, yet again, I think it's even more important that we are unified for the conservative cause and for the people of this nation. And then you look kind of forward. I have been asked this a number of times. Just what does it look like in 2024? Well, luckily for us, the Senate map is much better for Republicans this coming up time. So we have 10 seats that we have to defend. And really, if you're looking at those 10 seats, the most challenging, and this will put it in perspective for you, would be a Texas or a Florida. So it's a really good map for Republicans. We can't rest on that. We need to make sure that we get out and we get good people into the race, and that we put our resources and our energy behind them and a unified front so that we can make sure we take back the Senate in 2024.
I want to talk about your response to Twittergate or the Twitter files or whatever folks want to call it. I mean, here in talk radio, you know, we're like, we've been telling you that for a long time. A lot of people, but there is something to this confirmation, having Elon Musk put out these documents, or to Matt Taibbi and having him put out. You responded to that the other day. Your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, I think those Twitter files being released by Elon confirm what we all knew to be true. You know, that big tech has systematically colluded with their allies, with the Democratic Party, with others to control public thought, control the public square, to gain power, to influence politics, and ultimately to win elections. And so I think that this shows how important it is that we have transparency, and really how important it is that Elon continue to do what he's doing and give American people kind of a peek behind the curtain to see how the left has been utilizing these different platforms, along with the third arm of the Democratic Party, which I believe is the media, to keep their finger on the scales here. And so I look forward to being able to have congressional hearings. Obviously, don't know which committees I'm on, but I am hopeful that I get on a committee that will be able to, so where I can be a part of that, to get to the bottom of what occurred in Twitter and other places in 2020, and also to really probe into the practices of these social media outlets and see what they're doing, not only in society, but what they're doing to our children. I believe we have to demand transparency and accountability.
Yeah, and one of the things that Elon discusses about Twitter specifically, that I'll go to others, is this is not the idea that we would balkanize and everybody goes to their corners and you have a platform that's just for conservatives, just for liberals. I have no appeal. That's not appealing to me. I would like, you know, steel sharpens steel, right? So as long as it's fair and honest, I don't shrink back as a conservative from liberals having their voices heard on that platform. I don't get why the street doesn't go both ways. I don't.
Well, right. And that is a foundational building block of this nation, is diversity of thought and opinion. I mean, those are pillars of America, and being able to have the free flow of speech and ideas and information. I mean, that's crucial to who we are as a people. That's crucial to our democracy. And I have, you know, a message to my friends across the aisle, is that censoring conservatives is anything but progressive.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be encouraging debate and encouraging the exchange of opposing viewpoints, not stifling it. So I think that this is healthy for the nation. It's healthy for people to see it. And truthfully, if Elon had not done this, we would never have these answers. We would never have a window into this. And this is what people have been saying for years now. Mm-hmm. And we're finally getting kind of a front row seat to how it went down.
All right. Before we wrap up, too, just news today. It's your reaction to the release of Brittany Griner in exchange for the Merchant of Death here, Victor Bout. Talk about that. Do you have any kind of reaction to it?
You know, Sean, I'm always happy to see Americans be able to come home and to be back on our soil. But ultimately, I am disappointed that Joe Biden was not able to bring home Mr. Raylan. You know, I was hopeful that if some kind of deal were cut, that it would be one that included him. And you see consistently the weakness that is shown through this administration. And you realize that other countries know that we are weak and vulnerable with him at the helm. And I think this is yet another example of that. And, you know, I look at this, I look at what we're hearing out of Border Patrol agents and, you know, just morale being down there. We need a leader who puts this nation first, who continues both abroad and at home and on our border to put us in a place of strength. And each and every day that Joe Biden is president, I believe that we are weaker and more vulnerable. And unfortunately, I think this is yet another example.
We appreciate your time, Senator-elect Britt. And probably by the next time we're talking, we can... What is official? January what?
January 3rd. January 3rd is the swearing in. So that will be... I will walk on the floor. A Senator-elect takes the oath and walk off as Alabama's junior senator.
Back to that very last desk, right?
I am in the basement of Dirksen with cinder block walls and the last desk. But let me tell you something. I'm going to give it all I've got every single day for the people of Alabama, for this nation.
Appreciate your time. We'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.